I prefer restaurants with small menus. Flipping through the 500 or so channels on my satellite TV leaves me numb. Sent to the store to buy peanut butter, I stand at the shelf bewildered. Peter Pan, Jif, Skippy, Smuckers, Planters, the store brand. Creamy or chunky, light, low sodium, organic? What's a man to do? Maybe that's why I think back so fondly to my days as a student making trips to the clothing and food banks. Not a lot of choices, but it was simple and it was good. Do the clothes fit? Excellent. A jar of peanut butter for 2 points? Wonderful. I'm done and thankful. Now a preacher at Kramer Chapel is customarily given the choice of 2 readings on which to preach, which for me is 1 too many. The reading from Amos is gorgeous. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him who sows the seed. The mountain shall drip sweet wine, and the hills shall flow with it. Sounds delicious. Talk about your childhood wishes. Couple it with Homer Simpson's Land of Chocolate, and you've really got something. Better than Candy Crush, absolutely divine. And then there's Jude. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. Well, both readings are about the last days, one of warning, one of joy. And if the LWML is about anything, it's about our joy in Christ. But full speed ahead, I'm preaching about scoffers. I'm preaching about scoffers not because I really want to, but I feel like I have to. Because frankly, that's the age we're living in. The first verse of the Psalms is instructive. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Now, what's funny to me, at least it's funny, is that in our culture, we're way beyond sin and wickedness. I can't remember the last time someone or something was described as wicked, except perhaps in a fairy tale. And sin, well, sin is passé, except, of course, for the sin of hate, which Webster's now defines as the state or act of being a Christian. Yes, ours is an age of scoffers, where every tradition, from fatherhood and the flag, God and country, is diminished, everything belittled. You can see it in John Stewart's smirk and Bill Maher's smugness. You can hear it in the guffaw of the audience who are in on the joke. Oh, those Christians, superstitious and backwards. Don't they know anything? Haven't they even been to college? Next week, Neil deGrasse Tyson, an astrophysicist and a popularizer of science, is offering a public lecture at our local college, IPFW. From what I understand, the tickets, they were gobbled up in just a couple hours. And I have to say, I kind of like his TV show, but his basic premise, his shtick, is that we need to be smart, like he is. A fool would say that we were created in God's image, and an uneducated rube would assert that there is a life yet to come. The immensity of the universe, he loves to point out, underlines our insignificance. Evolution shows that we're all body and no soul. The best that he can offer, this physicist, is that we are all made of stardust, which for him is a kind of religious experience. Or to put it in other words, we're the byproducts of exploding balls of gas. Take away the poetry and it's much less exciting. No wonder atheism is on the rise. It's perhaps our fastest growing religion, with Richard Dawkins as its pope and high priest. But what's the appeal? Well, part of it's born of vanity, that we're smarter than everyone who came before us. And part of it, I think, is escapism. If there is no God, then there's no judgment. And if we're just animals, an accident of atoms, well then, there can be no accountability, no day of reckoning. Now I lay me down to sleep, I'll sow my seeds but never reap. And so it is everywhere we look. The elite are marginalizing Christians, wiping their accomplishments from the history books, highlighting their blunders. And make no mistake, it's an assault. Groups like InterVarsity, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and our own Lutheran campus ministries have lost their official status in the California university system. Other colleges are following suit. Why? Because some Christians have the temerity to say that we've been created male and female. Because Christians are saying about marriage the very thing that a couple of generations ago the local gentry said was elementary. So what to do? Well, the biggest mistake we can make, I think, is to muzzle ourselves, to remain silent. It's one thing to lose a hard-fought battle, another to raise white flags without breaking a sweat. And in order to speak in an increasingly hostile culture, we need an educated clergy, one that's as wise as serpents. And there's a deep irony here. While people flock to IPFW to hear the PhD astrophysicist, we're tempted as a church to dumb down everything. So many are pushing the seminary to shorten their programs, do away with Greek and Hebrew. But if, and as we do that, we'll become the very kind of people that the scoffers claim that we are. So what we do here at this seminary, among other things, is to develop and cultivate the mind of Christ. With St. Paul, we say, I'll pray with my spirit, but I'll pray with my mind also. I'll sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing praise with my mind also. So along with our chapel services, which are substantial, with meaty hymns and the best of music, we spend our time in the classrooms, and we develop our minds, and we put them into the service of Christ and his people. And together, we'll face the scoffers, and we'll do so in good cheer, keeping ourselves, as Jude says, in the love of God, waiting for our Lord who will return in mercy. We may not be able to change the world. We may not even be able to stem the tide. But one by one, we will pull people in, bringing them into the church as if into the ark of salvation. Or as Jude puts it, we have mercy on those who doubt, and we save others by snatching them out of the fire. And that, I think, means we have to have really good pastors to help especially our high school and college students to teach them, not to mention our older folks who have often drifted out with the secular tide. To others, we'll show mercy with fear, even hating even the garment stained by flesh, which means we'll strive to be in the world but not of it. And that phrase is striking, isn't it? Show mercy with fear, which means we'll offer a carrot and we'll carry a stick. We'll play the flute of the gospel and sing the dirge of our sinful human condition, saying hard things that need to be said and proclaiming a joy that cannot be denied. And we'll do it together. Pastors will preach, and God's faithful people will support them. And that's just what the LWML does. That's why Donation Day is so wonderful. It's the church as it should be. Because the women of the LWML want good pastors, and not just pastors with a good heart, though that's important, but pastors they can be proud of, pastors who can stand up and proclaim Christ in the midst of those scoffers, pastors who can help their flocks navigate dangerous waters. And even if in the days ahead we may feel like fire walkers, our Lord will bring us through. To where? Well, I told you I don't much like choices. He will bring us to that land where the mountains drip sweet wine, to that Vineyard Christ Church where there's no menu, no wine list to fret over, where we put ourselves in the Lord's hands and he serves us from his chalice, a cup that runs over, a drink purchased and flowing from the cross, attached now like branches to a vine. We drink together the cup of salvation. Amen.